The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Jennifer Gannon with us for television, as she is every week. Joined today by Daniel Cahill from our own team. Patrick Frayne is away. And we're going to start with a thing called Naked Attraction. Let's just hear a trailer for this show.
Modern dating has become a complicated business.
Dating online has been a nightmare.
I've tried the whole Tinder thing. It's not really worked out that great for me.
Status symbols, online profiles, and the clothes we wear can all get in the way of finding our perfect mate.
I can look at a guy and go, yeah, he's fit. And then when it comes to being naked, I'm like, okay, maybe not.
But what would happen if we were stripped of all the things that usually define us? In this dating show, we go back to basics. Are you ready?
Bring on.
And start where a good date often ends, naked.
Don't know where to look.
I haven't been faced with six penises.
No, but I feel like I should have done.
What do men and women really find physically attractive?
Wow.
This is fantastic.
And could picking a partner based solely on their natural beauty...
Happy to grow on.
..help us find the one?
I've never met anybody like this before and I didn't know where to look.
Let's find out by dating in reverse.
Who are you going to pick for your date?
This is the hardest decision of my life. Oh, my God.
Not a hard decision for me to say. I don't necessarily want to watch that programme. Jennifer, yeah, is it any good?
It's back. This time last year it came out first, and it was pretty much greeted like an unwelcome hair on a soap. No one, there had been 90 complaints from Ofcom just regarding the fact that, you know, it is just all out there. And I guess they cover their faces, so you're only really judging them from the neck down, so you're really only judging their nether regions. But as well...
Sorry, they cover their faces, so it's not just a question of looking suddenly find attractive from head to toe.
No.
It's from shoulders down.
There was a weird episode where a guy dismissed a girl because her clavicle bone was too prominent. I don't even know if that's something that you'd be thinking about, but apparently it is. And I guess it's just like with Tinder, it's like facial snaps, so this is the next thing in line to that.
Was it entertaining? Is it going to be entertaining in a second series?
I did watch a couple of them last year, I have to admit. It is basically softcore porn, kind of dressed up.
Well, it's like a depressing lineup in a brothel. That's what it's like, where they're just trooped out in their nip to be judged.
The idea is that clothes are such a barrier to meeting your ideal partner that they've removed them. So the person stands in this glass box. They've got three segments to reveal your torso, your bits, and then finally your head. But the idea is that, you know, you get to know the person, but it's always the person with the perfect body that gets picked for the date at the end.
The only thing you can probably say that's, you know, to its advantage is the fact that the bodies aren't airbrushed, they aren't photoshopped, so the celluloid and everything is, you know, scars and wobbly bits are all on display, and, you know, they have to decide from that. But it's just, it's really depressing. It kind of looks a bit like some kind of eugenics experiment. It's really biologically odd to have. It's not romantic in any shape or form. I don't know how anybody could go on it and think they were going to find someone attractive, and then they have to go on a date with them afterwards when they've put their clothes back on. And it kind of reminds me, there's a bit in Love Island where basically in Love Island everybody's lounging around in their bikinis for the past 3 weeks, and then they get to go on dates with each other, and they get so excited about choosing what to wear, what clothes to put on, and you're like, well, you've already seen each other pretty much naked, what's the point?
I didn't say, oh, you'd wear that. God, I could never go with somebody
exactly
who'd wear that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's so strange that, like, they're judged on their knees and everything else.
But, like, as I said, you know, you say about the cellulite, and it's, you know, they're all real bodies. But at the end game, everyone I've seen, it's always the most attractive people pair off with each other.
Okay, what about Big Brother and the state it's after getting? Now, I've declared on this programme in the past, I find Big Brother to be obnoxious and getting worse and worse in the way that it takes advantage of vulnerable people and engages in bullying and all the rest of it. Let's just hear a bit from what's been described as the big fight last weekend.
I'm not taking anything serious anyone says here.
Yeah, he's meant to be like a role model to his son as well.
Because you are boring this.
Yeah, role model to your son, though.
Why are you bringing up?
Dana says to you, if you don't give a get up the stairs.
Yeah.
Get up the stairs.
Not like you.
Daniel, hooliganism as entertainment.
Yeah, I have to admit I don't watch Big Brother, but I do like the celeb version. But I'll go on to that in a minute. But this, yeah, so it's been going for about 17 years now.
With a couple of breaks, I think, wasn't there, when it moved over from Channel 4 to Channel 5?
It moved, but it was on the following year, actually. There was, okay. There was no break in it. But Big Brother at the start, because I did watch it religiously at the start, and for the first maybe 6-7 years. And it did start out as something completely different, a social experiment with maybe the mildly eccentric person, but most normal people like Anna Nolan and Hugh Craig, the Builder, and all the different people over the years. But now it just seems to be they actually pick people for their madness, and it seems everybody is unhinged in the show.
But now, it's not even picking people for their madness. It's almost, like we said last week, directing storylines to cause as much chaos as possible. So you're putting people in a position where they are vulnerable, or there will be volatile conversations. Because what they did on Sunday basically was they plied them with a load of drink, and then they made them talk about each other's character traits, which obviously is not going to cause any problems at all. And that's where the fight kicked off from. And it really is just, you know, a sense of the toxic masculinity that's in that house, where it's a very lads, lads, lads environment. And it was the guys that kicked off, and was Loughton who ended up throwing a bottle at one of the girls. So it just instills, it's that environment where they egg them on, they encourage them to bring out the worst in themselves, and that's the way it's promoted now.
Even in the last series of, like, say, Celebrity Big Brother, and again, that started out kind of, you had your Michael Barrymores and your Les Dennis and your Eureka Johnson and stuff, and that was kind of tame enough. And where you had one or two oddballs, and now they pick these really, really volatile people, and they play these thing. They're called games, but they're usually play quotes that you said about somebody else. So when they see a friendship blossoming, they're like, "Oh, here's a game to win. I don't know, a cake or something." And then they'll play a who said this about that person. So they actually do the producers do encourage this fight.
But I mean, at the beginning, like, I have to say, I am a reality TV fan, and there's no denying, like, I loved the early days of Big Brother. I thought were brilliant because they had this normal people in bizarre situations and this uncomfortable clashes of class and backgrounds. And I think in an age when Big Brother began, somebody before she was vilified, somebody like Jade Goody, I can understand what the appeal was, because in an era of Posh and Becks and Paris Hilton, people were sick of that over the top celebrity, and they related to someone normal.
Let's remind ourselves of the late Jade Goody.
I'm not a
You're
British
not in Neverland here. You're not no princess here. You're normal.
Who said
you are
I'm
normal,
a princess?
Shilpa, and learn to live with it. You are normal.
Jade.
Don't.
I
don't,
am
don't
normal.
Come to me. Tell me.
Just
the only
it.
Thing you ordered, Just she had a go at me because me and Danielle used 4 OXO cubes. This was the only thing I ordered off the shop.
I ordered the condiments.
That's a lie.
Oh, please, get some, learn some manners. You
learn
some
manners.
Yes,
learn some manners.
Just forget it.
I don't want
classes,
Jade.
I don't
need any
classes.
And it was better in those days.
But no, that was just when they brought Jade back for Celebrity Big Brother. I'm talking about when Jade was in original Big Brother and she was making mistakes about, you know, not knowing where East Anglia was, and
that
all
was
East Anglia.
The biggest mistake for her career.
It was to go back on.
She started. She was the first reality star
breakout
to make
star.
£1 million. She was the nation's sweetheart. She had perfume, she had beauty salons, etc., etc. And then they brought her on for the celebrity version, and she
they had a fight over an OXO cube that ended up being an international incident and talked about in the Houses of Parliament, and effigies burnt of her in India.
Oh, for God's sake. So. Okay, both of you have started watching Riviera, but Jennifer Gannon, will you continue to do so, having watched the first episode?
Probably not. It's kind of, it's very just glam and over the top, and almost like the show Revenge that was on a while ago on E4. And it's you know, not the kind of thing I would have thought was written by John Banville or anything to do with Neil Jordan, which was surprising. It's very Dynasty style. And it's kind of, I can understand Paul McGuinness' involvement because, you know, the South of France is the millionaire's playground and he probably has a lot of experience there. And I can understand why he wanted to get both of these, you know, acclaimed Irish writer directors involved. But
as we heard from Nadine O'Regan when she was with us on Monday's programme, she got an exclusive interview with Neil Jordan, who has disowned it. Another listener says, watched one, Julia Stiles, if she could act once upon a time, she's lost it. It's grim. Watch 5 minutes of the second episode and delete it. It's so shockingly awful. What do you think, Daniel?
That's what I thought. I actually was a big fan of Julia Stiles, but then I was thinking today, it's probably 20 years since her heyday, you know, Save the Last Dance and 10 Things I Hate.
Mona Lisa Smile.
Oh yeah, that was terrible as well.
That's great.
But anyway, this one, yeah, she's very wooden in it. I was very surprised. She was terrible in it. It is very glitzy and glam. It's stylistically beautiful to look at. I was very surprised that Neil Jordan and John Bamba would be attached to it. And I can see why he's kind of distancing himself, because it's...
But then I'm thinking, are they distancing themselves now, knowing what they know, as in...
Oh, no, they dropped out after the first couple of episodes. I mean, the first episode was rewritten.
Oh, yeah.
And they saw it, and they weren't involved in any of the episodes after that.
But I understand that, but as we were saying before about the Netflix thing, let's say, with the Get Down, when directors get involved with TV shows, sometimes I don't think they understand how much of a journey they're going to be on with them.
He hadn't done the thing. Hadn't he done the Borgias?
But it's... The thing about it is, with the golden age of TV, when you want to slice that pie, it's like, how much do you want it? And were they just in a gentleman's agreement with Paul McGuinness for a couple of episodes? Or what was the situation behind it?
But the thing as well is that I can see both sides in that the thing has to be commercially viable. And, you know, it is incredibly popular. It's the biggest debut on Sky Atlantic for a drama ever. And when you think that Sky Atlantic hosts HBO bigwigs like Big Little Lies, Divorce, those kind of things. So it is, and it's been downloaded, the box set has been downloaded 5.3 million times. So it is...
I wonder how many people will get all the way to the end of it. Yeah. That are seduced by the advertising and the glamour of the look of it, and then find, although maybe there's no accounting for taste. Facebook is going into television. This is like others, like Apple are into it. What is Facebook planning to do, though?
So they are planning to invest into TV, and they're putting there's a budget of $3 million per episode. So it's quite vague. They're going to be doing original content, game shows, and they're going to be working with big Hollywood producers. There's a few names floating around, but there hasn't been any kind of concrete on how you access this. Do you have to pay for it? Presuming it could be ads, because they've now done this thing where they're putting the ads in the middle of their videos and you can't skip them. So, and they've already generated billions from advertising. So I imagine it could be a case where it's free television. So I think it's just, that's the way we're all going.
But presumably if it's Facebook, it's going to be something to watch on your phone or on your laptop or on your
tablet. Yeah, I mean, the way they're kind of going for it is, the way that their vice president was selling it was, it's interactive, because Facebook, like, that's their platform, is about being communal and interactive. So they'll probably do well with something like reality TV or game shows, where you can get involved as, you know, in real time as you're watching it, you know, as it's streaming. But I don't know about original programming and Facebook going hand in hand. I just can't see that. But at the same time, with the way things are going, you know, it could be, anything could happen. Like, McDonald's could be running Fox News in 5 years, we don't know. It could happen. So who knows? Facebook could make this a success, as in, like, the videos are already embedded into the Facebook stream, so it's very hard to get rid of video. So they will always have a constant audience, a rolling audience anyway. But at the moment, they need something else, because it's like a graveyard there for just old relatives trying to get some gossip off the young ones. So, I mean, really, Facebook do need to step something up, and if they want to go to the model of Netflix, that's the way they're going to do it.
I can't remember the last time I looked at Facebook. It must be months and months ago. Okay, pick of the week for you, Daniel.
My pick of the week is something that was added to Netflix quite recently. It's Sarah Silverman's stand-up comedy show called A Speck of Dust. Now, those comedy specials on Netflix aren't always the funniest, but this is excellent, and I've been a fan of hers for about 10 years, and this is probably her most focused and mature stand-up show, and hilarious as well. So she had a brush with death. She had a throat condition where she nearly died, so it kind of changed her outlook, and it's a well worth the watch.
Okay, your pick, Jennifer?
It's also Netflix. They're doing well for the summer. So it's Gypsy. It kind of reminds me of In Treatment. That was the show with Gabriel Byrne, who's a psychologist who had to confront difficult issues through time with his patients, except for there's a gender flip. So it's Naomi Watts is the psychologist, and she is meddling in all her patients' lives, kind of outside office hours, with sexy results. So it's a bit like Nurse Jackie, because it's like, you know, the healthcare professional who actually needs help. And it's dark and stylish and flashy, and it's directed, there's episodes directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. It's got a bit of a tone in it that's a bit like early Steven Soderbergh, so it's definitely intriguing.
Okay, something I haven't watched yet, but it was recommended to me by a friend, which I'm going to watch again on Netflix in the next couple of nights, and Nobody Speaks, this documentary about Hulk Hogan. You've seen it, have you?
I just recommended it last week.
You did. I was wondering if somebody else had said it to me as well, and I said that I had to, and it said it's supposed to be absolutely superb.
It's much more about the freedom of the press than just about the Gawker Gawker case itself, but it's just a like with Gawker, it's so gossipy that it had to end, and it ended in a colossal, almost Machiavellian, Shakespearean way. It's absolutely brilliant.
Excellent. I'm really looking forward to it. And you recommend BBC, you get to see these things early because you're a reviewer. I had to wait till it came up on Netflix last Friday night and I still haven't got to it. Thank you very much, Jennifer Gannon and Daniel Cahill, for joining us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.